The assignment of reading given to me for this Tuesday is from Micah chapter 7, beginning with verse 18. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A portion of the Athanasian Creed reads, "The Father, incomprehensible. The Son, incomprehensible. The Holy Spirit, incomprehensible." I once added, when I was doing this in a Bible study, "And the Athanasian Creed, incomprehensible." But it leads to the question for this sermon. Who would disagree that by trying to explain the doctrine of the Trinity, a proper synonym for the word incomprehensible would be inexplicable or beyond our understanding? That sounds like that's what the Creed is saying. Well, I don't agree with that at all. I believe that the Athanasian Creed teaches that which is incomprehensible is not an understanding of the nature of the Trinity. After teaching youth confirmation for over 25 years, I can take the youth who have become confirmed and ask them 30 questions about the Trinity. They'll get every one of them right. For example, how many persons in the Trinity? Three. How many gods? One. Which one is almighty? All three. Which one is all-knowing? All three. Which one is present everywhere? All three. Which one became a human being? Only one, namely Jesus. Which one died on a cross? Only Jesus. And the list can go on and on, talking about the essence of the Trinity, and they will have all of these questions answered correctly. I don't think the doctrine of the Trinity is incomprehensible at all. So what is the Athanasian Creed talking about that is incomprehensible? Maybe the following example will help you. At times, my wife gives the impression that I, Tom Baker, her husband, that I am incomprehensible. To what is she referring? She's not referring to my essence or nature of being a human being, of being a son, of being a father, of being a husband, of being a pastor, and so forth. What is incomprehensible at times for her is my behavior or my decisions. I'm sitting in the front room, and I look out, and we have a long front yard, and there's Louise cutting the lawn. Now, she enjoys cutting the lawn, exercise, but she won't use the gas mower. So we have a mower to which is attached a long electric cord, which she has to carry around on her back everywhere she's going. And I'm sitting there, and that's not very nice. So last week we went to Lowe's, and we bought a mower run by a battery. No gas, no oil, no electric cords. She had not expected that. And so it was an incomprehensible surprise. When the Athanasian Creed speaks of the Trinity as being incomprehensible, I don't believe it's talking about the essence, the makeup, or the substance of the Trinity, but rather the work and behavior of the Trinity. That's what's incomprehensible. Perhaps you're aware of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That's what is incomprehensible. That cannot be explained. You see, in every other religion in the world, God doesn't give anything. People give to God their good works, hoping that thereby they will earn a place in heaven. And the verse continues that the ones who are saved are not those who are doing good works, but those who have faith in the promises of the gospel. That's incomprehensible. Works don't count. This became very clear to me as I drive for Uber. I've been doing about 3 nights a week recently after my surgery. And I inform passengers who end up talking to me, about 50% do when they find out I'm a pastor, what I believe in such. And I'll often say things like, we believe, teach, and confess that there's no work you do that will either get you to heaven or send you to hell. They don't understand that. And often the response is, that's ridiculous. See, it's the work of the Trinity that is incomprehensible. It's another reason that I believe that you cannot use human reason to convince an unbeliever to become a Christian. Because the only means of grace that works ends up with blind faith in the gospel. And what's the gospel? The many gracious promises that God attaches to the historical events of the incarnation, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And when you look at those, they're really incomprehensible. This coming Sunday, one of the reasons is a Good Samaritan, and I guarantee you as I'm driving around to the churches I help out, listening to sermons, I'm mainly going to hear most of the sermons talking about that this is all about that you need to be a good neighbor. Because when you're a good neighbor, you're going to be saved. I mean, that's what Jesus says. Do this and you will live. That's ridiculous. Because the Good Samaritan isn't really a heavenly parable at all. It's just an illustrative story that Jesus uses when a man asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, you want to do something? Obey the commandments. And then Jesus says, well, there's one of a million other things that you haven't been doing properly. And he gives the illustrative story that this man hates Samaritans. And he has to love Samaritans in order to be saved, if he wants to be saved by his works. There's no gospel in the Good Samaritan, because Jesus says, don't throw pearls to the swine. And so every time in Uber, when somebody says, well, that's ridiculous, I don't try to explain to them the reasoning of the gospel. I begin with the law. I say, well, I'll tell you the reason why we Lutherans and Christians believe in the gospel is, in your life, do you do everything properly? Do you never make a mistake, which we call sin? And of course, they'll say, well, yeah. Well, then why are you going to heaven if you've made mistakes? And you finally get the message of the law across, hopefully before you have to drop them off at their destination, where they then start asking about the gospel, or it gives you the opportunity to speak. Now, why am I saying this? That incomprehensible is referring to the work of God rather than the essence of God. Because that's what Micah said. You just heard it. Remember, Micah begins, who is a God like you? Three persons, one God. All Almighty. No, he doesn't say any of that stuff. Now, we get that stuff from other parts of the Bible. Jesus says, I, the Father, are one. You see me, you see the Father, etc. So there's no doubt there's a teaching of the Trinity. But when the prophets and the apostles really want to make the point, they don't talk about the Trinity and its essence. They talk about the Trinity and its work. So I want to read once more the text for today and listen to how much he's talking about the essence of the Trinity. You know, he's talking about the world. Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love. He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness to Jacob and steadfast love to Abraham, as you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. That's incomprehensible. Amen.